Well, I wanted to start off our keeping of God's Feast of Tabernacles this evening by asking you a few questions. A few questions, okay? Number one, are you important? Are you important? Are you important to God? Secondly, are you an important member of God's true church? Number three, what rank, quote unquote rank, must a person be in God's church before he or she is considered to be important? Must a person be an apostle or an evangelist? Or must a person be a member of some church organization's council or board? Or must a person have to be a pastor or a local elder or even a deacon? Please keep these questions in mind, brethren, as I read you a nursery rhyme, an old English nursery rhyme, which Trish and I used to read to our daughters when they were very young. We found it in a little nursery rhyme book. I think it was the Ladybird Book of Nursery Rhymes, I think it was called. Okay, so just listen to these words now, please, and think about the meaning of them. For the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of a horse, the rider was lost. For the want of a rider, the battle was lost. For the want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe nail. So, brethren, we members of God's church can be likened to those little nails in a horseshoe. Each one has a vital, important function. Now, yes, it's true that Jesus did say that his Father could, if he wanted to, raise up stones to do his work on earth. But, brethren, he doesn't want to. We know he doesn't want to. In his love and his mercy, he has chosen to call you and me to do that work. Well, please don't get me wrong. I'm definitely not saying that the loss of one spiritual nail, you know, one church member, would jeopardize the coming of God's kingdom to this earth. Because you know as well as I do that sadly, over our years in God's church, we've seen too many loved ones, ex-spiritual horseshoe nails, depart from God's church, depart from his truth, and depart from his way of life. But the sad, bad decisions of those ex-brethren to depart from God's church will not prevent Jesus and his kingdom from coming. Still, let's all be praying for their repentance and their return, and that is possible too, although some have died in their error as well, and what God's going to do about them is his choice, you know. However, Jesus also tells us that if it were not for the sake of his elect, which includes all of us spiritual nails, he would allow all human life to be obliterated from off this tired old earth. I'm going to read just one verse, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22. You can turn there if you like. You know it very well. Very, very, very well known verse. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. But again, brethren, does the average non-ministerial Church of God member have an important part to play? And once again, brethren, I hammer this, and I think you know me by now, I'm certainly not trying to put the church ministry up on any kind of pedestal, nor, you know, and I'm, you know, I believe that I am not into so-called ministerial ranks or that kind of thing. I'm not. But again, does the average Church of God member, and that includes all of us, brethren, do we really have an important part to play? And through the Apostle Paul, God tells us repeatedly that yes, we most certainly do. Now, I know that you've heard these scriptures many times before that we're going to read tonight, but please bear with me as we read through them again tonight, because they really are so very important. And these scriptures enable us to understand and to realize that we all do have important parts to play. Please turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 4 to 8. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, okay, not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, everyone. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. I used the nails in the shoe of a soldier's horse as my analogy, but Paul was inspired to use the much more thorough analogy of the human body. And Paul emphasizes both here and elsewhere that there are no unimportant parts in the body of Christ. No unimportant parts. You're either in or you're out, and there can be no half measures. And if we are in, then we must be completely in. We must be in with both feet, as the saying goes. But unlike horseshoe nails, which if you think about it, they all look pretty much the same as one another, but very much like the many different parts of the human body, all the members of God's church are naturally different from one another. We are. And we've all been given different gifts, but all of those gifts are vital. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us in these scriptures. Again, all the various human body parts have different functions. Think about it. And, you know, you think about it as we, as certainly I get into my senior years, the functions of some body parts change as the years go by. You know, some of them wear out. You know, many of us are finding this out. And that's okay. That's quite okay. But still, all of the body parts are all necessary, or at least they were at one point in our lives. Otherwise, our Creator would not have put them there. You know. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time in here. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, beginning at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Just because the ear and the foot say those things, are they not of the body? Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body. God has done that, as it has pleased him. Let me repeat that, because it's so very important for us to remember, brethren. Now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Again, unity, brethren. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No. Much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble. When you think about, you know, your pesky appendix, or in my case, gallbladder, you know. Those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together. Again, God did it, brethren. God has tempered the body together, both the physical human body and the spiritual body of Christ. God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked. And if you look up the, and probably you might already be familiar with this, but that word tempered means basically the joining together of different kinds of metals, of different kinds of materials. That's what tempered means, and we're different. Tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked. When I think about that, I think of Nancy Floyd, you know, who left us at the beginning of the year, and how she just stuck with it all of those years, right up to the end. And she was tiny, and there was hardly anything left of her. Her skin was, you know, her skin was like paper, and yet she stuck with it. And I mentioned Nancy because, you know, we think of her as perhaps being a body part which lacked, you know. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body. There should be no schism in the body, says the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, the Father, and Jesus. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And I know, brethren, that some Church of God ministers will take that and say, oh, look, this is a ministerial ranking system. I don't believe it is, brethren. I believe it is just Paul's list of examples of the diversity of church functions and responsibilities. Verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And again, you know, basically what God is saying through here, what he's asking here, is could the body of Christ survive if all its members have the same function? And, you know, other than God the Father raising up stones if he wanted to, the implied answer to these rhetorical questions are a resounding no. Now, like me, you've probably, over the years, you've probably heard church members lament that, and I remember one, when we first came into the church, I remember one, I won't mention his name, but I remember his name very well, saying that the only necessary functions of a quote-unquote regular non-ministerial church member is to pray and pay. To pray and pay. But brethren, that is not true at all. All the various roles of all the various brethren, with all their various different God-given talents, are all very important. Important for the smooth functioning of Jesus's body. Now, although I'm sure you could think of more examples, I just want to give you a few examples, and these ones specifically related to the feast. When I talk about the feast, you know, I'm talking about our usual, get together with our group there, where, you know, we get together and we put everything into it together. As we did last year in Victoria, the last couple of years in Victoria. And when I think about that, I think about all the cooking and the food preparation during the feast. Okay. I imagine, that Vivian is cooking there for that young lady over there. And, you know, it may seem like a small thing, but it really, actually, it is very important putting food together. I think about Napoleon, who, I think he was the first one who noted that what he said was, an army moves on its stomach. And that's true, and no less true for the army of God. What about, you know, the beautiful decorations and flowers that grace our various feast sites? You know, please think about all of the effort and love that goes into them. You know, and the effort that goes into the hymn, you know, the hymns, the special music, and the choirs too. And again, these functions and others too, all these things that go together to make a feast, you know, to make it an enjoyable and colourful and meaningful and inspiring success. And even more, continuing beyond the feast on an ongoing basis, please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, through the Apostle Paul here. Ephesians chapter 4. talking about the body again. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Increase of the body. So, saying, if we do this properly, if we do our parts properly, brethren, and if we effectively work at it, increase will be the result in God's church. Growth, both collectively and individually. Definitely spiritually, possibly, physically, numerically. And I don't know whether the numbers of the church of, that I have no idea what the numbers of God's people are anymore, whether it's, been vastly increased or whether it's waned, I don't know. But if not numerically, then certainly spiritually and individually and collectively within the church as it is. So God is telling us here that the very fact that he has given various and different jobs and different talents to us all should bring unity and growth to his people. Not envy, not jealousy, not competition, and certainly not division. Still with Paul, let's go over to Colossians chapter 2. We're still talking about the body. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. He's talking about some people who are not doing what they, brethren who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Colossians chapter 2 verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. No. Intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Shouldn't be doing those things. Verse 19. And not holding the head. Not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, in other words served, and knit together increases with the increase of God. There it is again. So talks about, these people, whoever they were, whoever Paul was referring to here, they were not holding their head. They were not holding on to their head. And brethren, we must hold on to the head. Jesus is the head, of course. We must hold on to the head. we better hold on to the head. We are the body. He is the head. And if we do hold on to the head, all the body, all of its bands, talks about bands there, it's like sinews and muscles. All of its bands will come together and will bring about increase and growth to Jesus's body, to his church. So these scriptures in Paul's letters to the Ephesians and the Colossians specifically here, once again accentuate the unity that's absolutely necessary in the body of Christ. But as we've already seen, sadly, at this point in time, the body of Christ does not have the unity that it should have. So what do we need to do? We all need to be continually promoting that unity and fervently seeking after that unity. Okay. And I just need to interject here. You know, we can't push it. And I've done that in the past. I've tried to, and you know, the name of our website is Building Bridges. And when we first started doing that, we went to great lengths to strive to build bridges. And we were just shocked by the failures that we ran into. Now, you know, God might have said, no, you know, I don't want you to be doing that or whatever. I don't know. We tried. We thought we were doing the right thing, but we got backheeled by so many different organizations and ministers. And I don't want to lament that, you know. We may have been doing it wrong. I don't know. But we've still, doesn't matter. We've still got to recognize those people. If they reject us, then that's between them and God. We've got to be doing what we can to promote that unity and to fervently seek after that unity. So again, all the various Church of God groups have different members with various different talents, you know, and different Church of God groups have different approaches, which may attract some people and not others, and that's fine. But the members within a group, like, think about that, you know, the member who's looking after the music, after the hymns or after the special music. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about in the larger church organizations. The one who's looking after the music must be unified with the member who's caring for the sick or the bereaved, you know, writing cards to them and that kind of thing. It's a job for all of us, brethren. And both of these, all of these members are to be unified with the ministers. And the ministers are to be, you know, not sticking themselves up on a pedestal, but unifying ourselves with the brethren. Now, although, you know, in some ways, you know, we're told that in the Bible that the job of a minister is partially different to the rest of the brethren. Still, again and again and again, I'll say the minister is not ever to put himself up on a pedestal. A minister is not ever to consider himself superior to the brethren that he serves. Minister, servant, same thing. Minister means servant. So, you know, so he's never to consider himself superior to the brethren, not on a person-to-person basis within our own little group, nor on a person-to-person basis throughout all the various Church of God groups, brethren. They are our brothers and sisters, our spiritual brothers and sisters. They're our fellow members, our fellow body parts within the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head. Jesus is the head of his body. Jesus is the head of the Church of God. And any unity that we can have between church members and church groups must come through him. And that's the important thing. Maybe that's what I was doing wrong. I don't know. But it's got to come through him. We have to be unified with Jesus Christ and from Jesus to God the Father. And then it's got to come down from God the Father to back to Jesus and then back to our brothers and sisters in the other groups and within our own group too. So brethren, we've all got a part to play. We've all got a job to do, and we've got to be looking for to find out what those jobs are and to find out how to do them better. So in conclusion, let me ask you once again, are you an important member of God's true church? Are you important? Are you important to God? Are you important to the work of God? Well, I'm telling you that yes, you are. If you are faithfully seeking which job or which jobs that God has called you to do within his church, and if you are faithfully and uncomplainingly striving to be doing those jobs to the very best of your God-given ability, then you may be 100% confident that you are a very important member of the Church of God, and that you are a very important member of the very body of our Lord Jesus Christ.